Hey, Ma. We're starting the 12 Days of Christmas early this year. From October 11th to December 28th, we're giving you our top 12 Moms Actually episodes from the past three seasons as we get ready for, wait for it, season four. So whether you're a new listener or part of the Ma community, take a listen, share with a friend, and don't forget to rate and review. Ready to spin the block with us? Let's get into today's episode.
I think the remix should be, hey.
Hey, when you
what's up?
Hey, Ma. What's up? Hey, Ma. What's up? Hey, Ma.
What's up?
Hey, Ma. What's up?
Hello, welcome to Moms Actually. I'm Blair.
And I'm Morgan.
And we have the incomparable Tim Ross with us today.
Hey, Ma.
Thank you so much. Hey.
Oh, what's
hey,
up?
Hey, Ma.
Okay.
What's poppin'?
You know, we got a little Hey Ma song, and you know, it's her and her daughter Layla singing our theme song.
I do,
it's
yeah.
So cute.
We have a theme song.
Yeah, yeah. We did a little play. Oh, I don't
play
know
off
to try to like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We are gonna, you know, we'll tell you later. Like, but yeah,
I think the remix should be Hey Ma.
Okay.
Hey Ma.
Hey. When you know what?
So we're just going to strip this sound.
Yes. We'll do it.
We're going to pay you with a thank you.
Yeah.
It's all good. It's all good. Yeah.
I love that. Well, yeah. You know what? Let's just jump right into our game. So every episode, before we get into the nitty gritty of conversation, we just do a quick little icebreaker. Mm-hmm. It's called It's Giving Motherhood. But this one, we're doing a rapid fire.
Done deal.
So I'm going to give you some words. Yep. Blair's going to give you some words. Mm-hmm. First word or phrase that comes to mind is what you say to us.
We're doing an either or.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, it is a this or that. I'm sorry.
Okay,
she's
no
like,
worries.
It's this or that. But yes, it is a this or that situation. Okay. First word that comes to mind is what it is.
Done.
And we're going to go ahead and get started.
Done deal.
All right. So share your food or order your own.
Oh, order your own. Always.
You take the fries off your plate.
No. Yeah. Absolutely. You should have got it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Toilet paper goes over or under?
Doesn't matter to me. Oh. I have wipes.
Oh, he said I have wipes.
Your butt ain't clean unless you have wipes.
He point is blank, the dude period. Wipes. Sponsor.
Yeah absolutely.
Oh, quick sidebar. You know, even flushable wipes, you're not supposed like.
Yeah,
not to
I know.
Flushed. My toilet
know,
just got clogged from those.
Oh, you got to have like Kleenex or something like that. Huggies won't do. That'll clog
Huggies
you in a minute.
Won't do.
Yeah. Huggies wipes will clog everybody's
your
wipes.
Your septic system.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just information if you didn't
yeah.
know.
Trying to give people life hacks.
Yep.
Martin or Fresh Prince?
Martin.
All right.
Mm. Father's Day or every day?
One every day.
Vacation or staycation?
Staycation. I'm an introvert.
Okay.
Make plans or wing it?
Make plans always.
Oh. Mm. So okay. If you go to Disney World, you planning the whole day?
I am the concierge.
Oh.
I will administratively execute everything that needs to happen.
Okay.
And the whole thing can be paid for before we leave.
Period.
Yeah.
Oh, period.
Poo.
Enjoy right now or prepare for what's next.
Enjoy right now.
Yeah, wow. The same way. Those are some good, decisive answers.
Yeah, you didn't even really have to think about it.
Mm-mm.
Well, first answer is the right answer.
That's true. How was your Father's Day?
Father's Day was dope. I love being a dad. I really do. And at the age and stage that my boys are now, it's a privilege to be able to escort them through manhood.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm enjoying being a daddy.
Yeah.
Did you ever, like, I know some women, like, we dream of being moms, like, our whole life, or we don't. Like, mm-hmm. Was that always something you wanted, and did you want to father boys, or did you?
Yeah, so I always dreamed of being married.
Okay.
I wanted to be married since I was 8 years old.
Aww,
so between my parents, who have a beautiful marriage, very, very communicative. My dad was a hopeless romantic. Like, mm-hmm. he had a rose garden in the front yard, and he clipped the roses, dethorned them, and put them on the dashboard of mom's car with a little note. My mother never backed her car out of the driveway a day in her life.
Reverse.
And so I saw all of this growing up, and at 8 years old, between my parents and the Huxtables, I was like, I can't wait to be married. So I've always wanted to be married. Kids are just a consequence of my love for my wife.
I was going to say.
So, yeah.
Ooh, wow. No, the way you talk about your wife, I think I'm in love with her too. Like, he is so sweet all the time to Juliet.
I'm
like,
sprung on her.
I can tell.
Love
yeah,
that.
Very much so. Yeah.
That's it's very
beautiful.
Authentic.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of your wife, when it came to motherhood, what ways did you find, like, to best support her, especially through, like, pregnancy and those early days of, you know, birth and all of the things? And how did she, if at all, communicate that she needed support and help? Or were you already, like, proactive, did you feel like?
I'm very proactive when it just comes to my wife's needs. I anticipate needs, so much so, embarrassingly, with our first child, because Juliet's been pregnant five times, but we lost three.
Okay.
So when Nathan was born, embarrassingly, I actually gave my wife postpartum depression because I was taking the baby like, no, you sleep through the night. I got the baby and da-da-da-da. And she needed her baby. Right? You know what I mean?
I did not.
She was so sweet. And it was our first kid, so you're always hyper vigilant with your first.
Yeah.
By the time the second one comes, it's like, you ain't gonna die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that
yeah,
second
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Them pictures fall off 50%, mm-hmm. everything. You like.
No diaper bag, you just,
yeah, yeah,
just
you're like,
throw it in your purse.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
But with the first, my mother had to call me and be like, will you please give it?
And she holds your baby.
Juliet her baby back. She was like, you are giving her depression. I was like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
So I had to learn, you know, the rhythm in each stage of where she needed to lead and then where I needed to support.
What do you think you needed during those days? I think we often talk about, like, what moms need during that time. But no one really asks about the dad. Like, they'll talk about what the dad's not doing or what he should be doing. Like, what would you say to a mom, whether it's their first or third child, like, what support do you wish you had? What do you wish you were able to do?
Yeah, I think, I can't speak for all men, but I know for myself, that first child changes you. Your brain kind of switches and you're like, I need to support in a different way. I'm not just thinking about my wife anymore. I'm thinking about my wife and my child. And so I had a lot of fears that were not articulated at first. I felt them, but I didn't have words for them. But I have therapists and I always process. So I was able to be able to unpack that, find the language for it, and then bring it home to my wife and say, here's what I'm feeling right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having this baby terrifies me.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how I'm going to support this whole thing. I don't know.
Right.
I'm already thinking about college. You know, I was not in the moment of like, let's just take one day at a time. I'm like, how are we going to pay for this kid?
Yeah.
And college is expensive.
Yeah.
And maybe they just be an athlete and get out of my pocket. Like, you know, I was projecting a lot. So again, for me, if it doesn't come up and out through words, it will come up and out through actions.
Yeah,
it comes out somehow.
Yeah, so I'm big on getting my feelings into words because then I can have context to what they are and then navigate them better.
I think that's a really good tip because I've had a lot of moms come to me and they'll ask me like, what was your experience with, you know, your spouse? Because sometimes they don't know how to communicate and articulate and it seems like they don't care or they don't understand. And I had to tell them, I don't think that it's that they don't understand or that they don't care. I think they're just processing so much internally.
Oh, for sure.
And they don't know how to say, I'm scared.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's so good to hear that from a male perspective, though, because a lot of women truly don't get it. And then they feel like now we're arguing about something that's not really an argument.
Right.
You know what
I mean? That's not even the issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, that's a lot of the times I say. And then we also, and that's due to postpartum, not even depression, just postpartum. Like, we tend to push you guys away too because we want things our way, like the diapers this way or, you know, you got to burp them, like everything.
Way.
So then we can accidentally like just push you guys away from bonding in that way, too.
Yeah. One of the things that motherhood does to the dad is, I'm speaking for myself again.
Right.
I watched my child, who I love.
Steal your wife.
Take my wife.
Ooh.
When he was on them breasts. I was pissed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, I need share. Those back for them.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you in the bed with her more than I am right now. You cuddled up. You know what I mean? I'm losing spooning time. I'm losing cuddle time. I'm losing all the time.
Man, that's good.
And I had to actually grieve the loss of my wife in that way for a season. I was going to get her back. But for a season, I had to grieve and mourn the loss of that, or else I was really going to set up some resentment and be like, oh, you putting him in front of me.
Yeah.
And when that's not the case.
And we're not even thinking in that way because we're so in a fog.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Your bodies are going through changes.
Yeah. Like, how do you, like, and then we're like, you even want to be around
us?
Yeah,
like, we don't even think that.
Sal, please. Listen.
Yeah.
Listen. what my kids did to my wife's body, I wanted her more. So I was not running away from her. I was running to her. I'm like, can you sleep?
Over there.
Yeah.
Just take a nap for an hour, bro, and just give me my wife for a minute.
Yeah.
So it was, it's an adjustment. And my reminder, my encouragement to fathers would be, this is just a season. My encouragement to mothers would be, this is just a season. It can be a taxing season, especially when you start having kids back to back. But it's only a season. And when that season shifts, you can get back into a rhythm and prioritize the relationship.
But that's what I was going to ask. Is it just a season? Like, does your marriage ever go back to what it was pre-kids? Like, you've been through several different phases now of being a father. So it's like, how has that affected your marriage through different stages of your children's lives?
So prioritization is very, very key. So my earliest memories of realizing that my parents loved each other way more than they loved us is when I turned 13, my parents handed us a $20 bill and said, we bought you all some frozen dinners. This is enough money for pizza. They left on Friday and came back on Sunday and didn't tell us where they were going.
Ooh.
Now, this is back in the days of landlines.
Yes. Yeah,
so they handed us a 20 on Friday and said, don't let that phone ring three times without you answering it. We bet not hear no other people in this house.
Yeah.
We're leaving for the weekend. And we're like, where are you going? Don't worry about where we're going.
Yeah.
Don't call us, we'll call you, right?
Yeah.
Well, we couldn't even call you.
Right,
We found out years later they were going to the Embassy Suites down the street.
Staycations.
But they were literally prioritizing their marriage.
Yeah.
And they were not going to allow kids to become the excuse of why they don't date and why they still don't have time together and why they don't romance each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I learned from a very early age looking at my own parents that, oh, yeah, y'all joke is, y'all going to be all right.
Right.
Bring the mother-in-law over here. Get the sister-in-law. Yeah. I have no shame in having somebody come babysit these kids because I want to go out with my wife.
Yeah. And I was going to say that. I was going to ask practically because I know we also have like so many moms who have younger children that follow us and watch this. Mm-hmm. They're going to ask immediately like, well, what is the solution for when my kids are younger? And I know it's like, okay, have somebody come over. But is there any other, especially for like our single parents, you know, is there something else that they could do to just try to, maybe it's somebody that they're seriously dating or, you know, whatever the case may be, that it's not maybe leaving for a weekend, but
for sure.
Are there practical things maybe throughout the week that you guys do?
Oh, absolutely. So when the kids were really, really young, we used all of their bedtime. Now, it made us had very short nights, right?
Yeah.
We only sleep in 4 or 5 hours anyway.
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case, when you put these kids down, we're going to watch a show.
Yep.
We're going to have a conversation. Okay. We're going to order some takeout. Ain't nobody cooking. And we just going to look at each other and talk and woo-woo until we either fall asleep. If we get sex, great.
Right.
If we don't get it, we just going
to
spoon tonight.
Yeah.
And then somebody going to have to get up with this baby in the morning at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, feed, put him back to sleep. But the intentionality is key. Whether you get away or you just steal away 4 or 5 hours, get the time in.
Yeah,
because again, it's only seasonal, and you'll be able to make those adjustments as the kids continue to grow.
And that's why kids' bedtimes are important.
Yes.
Oh, they are.
They're very important.
Absolutely.
One thing I don't play about is a bedtime.
Yeah,
it's 8 o'clock, and then when we want to spend time together, it's like 7. 6:30, 7. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's when my life
but
starts.
But I'm not tired. Yeah. I don't care.
You can talk to Jesus, you can talk to yourself, but you're not going to talk to us.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, and don't come out the room.
No.
Unless you have to pee.
Yeah. Yes.
No, we got a gate. We got a lighted clock. Like, they could go.
You do have that gate. We got a gate. You're not coming out of here.
Yeah.
And I love it.
I just, I'm like, after 3 months, my kids don't get in my bed, nothing like that. They've had their own room.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't play with any of that. And I think even outside of marriage, just so I can have my time.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very, very important not to lose yourself.
Now, you're a pretty busy man.
Psych. I'm really not.
But how would you, what would you say to a father who is trying to really balance, like, being active, but also trying to be a provider and trying to make sure that he's taking care of home without feeling overwhelmed? Because I think, you know, males, they have a one-track mind a little bit. And sometimes it's hard to say, oh, wait, I need to stop and, you know, actually pay attention to my child. Yep. Like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, so I do have a one-track mind. I think the advice I would give a man wired like me is you have to know the length of these tracks. So if I have a one-track mind when it comes to work. How long is the length of this track as it relates to work? Is it 2 miles? Is it 7 miles? Is it 20 miles? When does it end? The only time a track, a one-track mind gets into a problematic situation is when there is no ending. So I need to know when this train stops so I can get off it and get on the next train.
Right.
And sometimes those stops happen and I got to get off right here, get on this train and then get back on the other train. So, I've never been in a rhythm where, except when I was depressed, that my kids thought my daddy's not around or he's here, but he's not here. He won't put down his phone. He doesn't look me in the eye. I have intentional time. I've always had intentional time with my boys. Fridays is boy day. We have devotion every night before they go to bed as a family. And so there's time for everything as long as you schedule it.
You make time for what you care about.
You make time for what you care about. And if you care about it, it's going on the calendar.
Yeah.
If
you
don't care about it, then it's like if I get around to it.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to get around to my wife and I'm never going to get around to my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You have bandwidth for everything as long as you schedule it.
Mm. Makes sense.
Man, okay.
How is fatherhood, like, evolved you as a man, like, who you were, you know, 10, 11 years ago? Your oldest is?
Yeah, my oldest is 14.
14.
Yeah, he'll be 15. I have a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old this year.
How old you were, like, who you were 15 years ago versus now? Like,
yeah, I'm so much more, I'm way more settled. So Juliet and I had our kids in our 30s, not in our 20s.
Have your kid. I tell my unsolicited advice is don't have kids till you're 30 plus. Live your life. Live your life.
Your brain is much more settled, right? Because psychology says your brain isn't fully developed until you're about 25. So I had my first one at 33, my second one at 35, and I was just a different person by that time. And when the boys came out, I'm like, these are little humans. They're trying, and because I had done so much therapy for my trauma, I was just able to see my little boys for who they are. They're little human beings trying to figure it out. They're sitcoms older than them. Why do I expect them to be mature in this situation? Why do I expect them to know what I know? They're nine, right? Even now, at going to be 15 and going to be 13, I look at them and I'm like, y'all are dumb. Y'all are really dumb. Like, you know, most parents want to be like,
they are really dumb.
I got that. I give you that.
You know what I mean?
I understand.
The bumper sticker. Yep. My kid's an honor roll student.
Like,
your kid's dumb.
Just because they can learn some school stuff.
Yeah. Like, just because they know how to rote math.
I agree.
And division and write an essay.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they know how to clean their room.
Yeah.
After the 19th time that you've told them.
I would say the most important thing to me is my children know how to think. Like, the other stuff is bonus, but I need them to know
how to, and
they don't know yet.
We homeschool our kids.
We do too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I don't trust, because we're disciple makers, like, by default, right? Yeah. So I do not trust that they were going to have our values after 5 years. Now, I know everybody's not in that situation to be able to do that. I'm a product of the public school system. But what I tell people is that I was private, I was publicly homeschooled, right? I went to school, then my mom, when we come home in the evening, my mom was like, now let me tell you
what it really is.
What it really is.
That's
you know what I mean?
Because
they didn't even teach you this, right?
Yep.
So for my boys, they're being exposed to their world, right? We have conversations with them every night, and they're talking about, you know, Young Vaughn, King Vaughn and NLE Choppa and, you know, Triple X Extension. Yeah. And I'm
That's
like,
how you say
do you
that?
Know, like,
you
two-thirds of y'all, two-thirds of y'all's rappers got murdered.
Yeah.
It was just Pac and Biggie for us. Everybody else survived.
Yeah.
Y'all just
everybody
getting slaughtered by the time they're 22.
Yeah.
Young Dolph dead. Everybody dead, right?
Yeah.
So, but we make intentional time to be in their world.
Yeah.
And we're learning if we just shut up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we stop talking, they'll tell us everything.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
They just need to know if we're listening.
Yeah.
And so we're like, go on. And then what? And they're like, yeah, then this daddy and then that daddy. I'm like, I'm just getting into it.
I used to tell on myself all the time as a kid.
That's right.
It's something about raising boys, too, because it's already such a expectation. Just like it's an expectation for women and mothers, there's an expectation for males. And you have two boys, and we're in a different generation and what they're exposed to and all of the things. And I think it's even like we are very, it's easy to try and project.
Yeah.
And so I heard you say like your trauma, you were already healed from, you know, certain things. But what if you weren't? Do you feel like there are plenty of fathers out there that like aren't healed because they didn't have the therapy.
I'm gonna say 90%.
It's way more.
Oh, way more.
out there that don't have your story, but you were there. Like, what advice would you give to that part of yourself? Because there are a lot of men, I think, out there who need to hear that part. And still have to parent through.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
What does that look like?
Yeah, I encourage all men to like get to the epicenter of your wound. Right. Don't just address the symptom. Go to the root. Right. If you have a cold and I hand you Kleenex, I'm not helping you. I'm giving you something for your symptom. I'm not helping you end the source, which is the virus. I remember so my kids are upper middle class. They bougie. OK, I'm from the hood. I'm from Englewood.
OK.
My kids are not. Mm-hmm. They don't know what a hood looks like.
Can they even visit?
Yes, they've heard about it in songs.
Right.
But I have taken them to the hood just to let them know who y'all want to be.
Did you disappear or you just...
No.
Like go around the corner like y'all by
yourself.
There you go.
Well,
I asked them, would you feel comfortable if I let y'all out and walked a couple of blocks? They said, no, daddy.
Please don't.
I said, okay. But we were in Turks and Caicos. It's how bougie we are. Said my parents never, right? Mm-hmm. Like we were in Turks and Caicos.
Right. Right?
That has never happened.
Right.
We went to Disney for a day. Mm-hmm. We drove home, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we're in Turks and Caicos for like a month, right? Oh, and we're in a house.
Goodness.
We have a chef and a butler.
Okay.
And we're sitting at a table. And there's three generations sitting at the table.
Wow.
My mother-in-law, me and my wife and I, and my two boys. Two of these three generations have never been here before. This last generation, this is their normal. And what I had to do in that moment, I literally had the thought, Tim, do not mess this up for your sons. By opening your mouth and saying, you know, we didn't have this growing up. You need to appreciate this.
Yes.
Because we didn't ever have nothing like this.
Yeah.
Your grandparents ain't never had nothing.
Yeah.
Don't project what you didn't have or the lack of what you didn't have to mess up what is their normal. Your ancestors paid for them to be at this table.
Right.
My parents paid for them to be at this table.
Yeah.
I worked hard for them to be at this table. Now I'm going to guilt them at this table.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't do my own work, I'm not even aware enough to catch myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so my encouragement to fathers is do the work.
Yeah.
Because you can pass off a bunch of anger and resentment to your kids thinking that you're toughening them up.
Oh, gosh. Especially boys.
Yeah, especially boys.
Right.
And really, you're just putting them in line for your therapist.
Right.
So I want them to go to therapy for different stuff. I don't want them to go for this, you know.
Yeah. I would say all our kids are going to end up in therapy because it's healthy, first of
all. They need to be in therapy.
But there's, there's always going to be something.
It is. I'm going to miss something.
Yeah.
But I want to be aware of as much as I can be.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
No, that's really good.
Yeah.
So what do you say to fathers? Because, you know, there's always a thing where, like, when the kids are young, a lot of fathers are like, okay, the mom got that. When they get to the fun age, that's where I'm going to, like, show up and, like, now, like, be the active. Yeah. When they can play basketball. Like, what is being an active father?
An active father is an action father, right? Like, what we know about God is that he loved the world so much, he gave. He didn't say. He gave something. It was an action behind it. And so I'll never forget both of my kids. I used to talk to them through the womb. And I'll never forget. I was over the doctor's shoulder when both of my babies came out of my wife's womb, right? I cut the umbilical cord. And then I said, Nathan. And then he went to looking for me. Noah. Oh my God. Them eyes went to looking for me. They've heard my voice since before they came out their mother's womb. And my voice has been constant. They get words of affirmation from me every single night. If I'm away, FaceTime is happening. They know they're going to hear from their father. So the intentionality of ensuring that my love is actionable, right? It's not just in word. It has to be in deed. My daddy was there. My daddy shows up. My daddy cancels stuff to be here.
Right.
You know what I mean? That is like an important thing. Yeah.
That's really good.
What does it look like in marriage? Like, so you have the kids, you have your marriage, you're prioritizing it, all the things, right? But it's also not always amazing. Like, there are times where, you know, the busyness of life or just the ebbs and flows of things. And I know as women, we go through our own challenges and journeys, and it's not always lining up with our spouse. Like, what does that look like? And how do you support, if anything, or come to a middle ground? Because sometimes it could almost feel like a business partnership.
Oh, it sure can. That's a
if you don't, you know, like what? How?
Especially when you actually work together.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, it happens regardless, but once you...
Yeah. So, yeah, we Juliet and I are in that situation now with our LLC. We do business together. And so we have to have lines of demarcation of when is business and when it's not. Like, I will cut it off in a minute. Like, she's ready to talk business, and it's like, oh, no, that stopped at 6. It's 7:30.
Yeah.
That has to wait till tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, baby. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me, because my wife is half Jamaican, so that Jamaican side has 13 jobs.
Yes.
Okay? By herself, she got 13 before we even get to our business together.
Right.
So I'm very intentional about, we have a cutoff for this. And we're not talking about business no more. When you talk about those times where it's like, you know what, we're just not connecting, I get curious about that, right? Like, I want to know, where is our disconnect? What are you feeling right now? Because communication can mitigate frustration. If I have context, I'm good.
Yeah.
If I don't have context, I'm not good. The B clause of Proverbs 4:7 is literally like my life mantra, right? Wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom. With all thy getting, get an understanding. So I live by this mantra that context is king. I want to be a homicide detective.
Oh.
I'm used to figuring out the motive behind the murder.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm trained to do.
Okay.
So whenever there's a disconnect, I just want to know, what caused this?
Yeah.
Where did we get off? And once we get that into words and I have context, I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Then we can float around this now.
Yeah.
I'm not pissed with you. Walking around like, oh, so you ain't gonna talk? I ain't gonna talk.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's a little bit of a petty Eddie in the inside of me.
And petty Eddie.
I gotta, you know, he needs to be slayed. But I can do that with curiosity.
Yeah.
Because you cannot be offended and curious at the same time.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So stay curious. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stay curious. On them days where it just seems off, you off with your spouse, you off with yourself,
yeah. mm-hmm.
you off with the kids. I mean, you go from 2 to 3, 3 to 4, however many kids you have, you're increasing the probability yeah. and possibility that someone's going to wake up on the wrong side of the bed.
Yeah.
That's not an issue.
Yeah.
Let's just get context to what happened today.
So mm-hmm. we can
what we feeling today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? Are we hypoglycemic? You know what I mean? Did you only get 3 hours of sleep?
Right.
You know, did I say something yesterday and you yeah. went to bed on it and woke up and yeah. brooded on it all night and got up like...
I was ready to go.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm ready to clap back. And it's like, good morning.
She was thinking about that all night.
All night to think about it.
Get out the shower like, let's go.
So getting context will help kind of mitigate that.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean the frustration disappears, but at least you're not like, I don't know where this is coming from. Mm-hmm. So I always check in with Juliet.
Yeah.
I always check in. Where are you right now? How am I doing as a husband? I hate asking that question. Because I'm inviting an answer that mm-hmm. I might not want. Yeah. But I check in. I'd be like, am I doing okay?
Yeah.
And if I am, I'm like, whew. And she'd be like, I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
So just be curious.
Yeah, we would sometimes say we probably should have got more consistent with it, but how can I love you better? Like at the end of the day,
yes,
because
good.
Then it comes in a safe space
yeah,
instead
absolutely.
Of like in the moment.
Yeah, you're being invited into yeah. it as opposed to the person going like, man, I got to tell you about yourself because you don't see yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And especially if like the rest of the day went well, it's like, okay, I can't bring this up and start an argument, but then it going come into the next one.
That's exactly right. That's yeah. exactly right. Yeah.
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 I have a question. Kind of brings us back a little bit, but you mentioned your I'll say both of you lost 3 babies.
Mm-hmm.
How do you support your wife through that? Because I feel like a lot of the times, like men, because they're so practical, they can move on.
Yep.
While we still have the hormones in us, first of
For
all,
sure.
and then have had the experience. So, it's, yeah. how did you guys get through that?
Well, that first one was devastating because I had baby fever. Like, I wanted a baby, she was not ready, and. Uh-huh. So I'm like, can we get a dog? And she's like, fool, you travel so much. I'm going to take care of this dog.
Yeah,
so
right.
we ain't even getting a dog. I'm
yep.
like, okay, I just wanted a little Paris Hilton dog.
Oh.
Something hyperallergenic. She was yeah. like, no, fool, you ain't getting it. Because I'm going to be taking care of this dog while
yep.
you're on the road, right? So then she just came off birth control
mm-hmm.
and surprised me. Like, she just got pregnant and yeah. didn't tell me. She was already going to the doctor. And so we were already past the third trimester. And it was like, oh, like, and then she told me after 3 months, like, now her body was already like
wow.
changing,
yeah.
but I just thought, ooh, you getting thick and all the right, like that booty
men
is
are just
juicy.
So unaware.
We're very aware.
It's like aware.
You aware, but you don't know what you
right.
like,
you like, ooh,
thick.
Look at the booty.
That booty. Ooh, and them breasts. Yeah. Hey, this is beautiful, girl. And then she just came home one day. When I came home one day, she was just like, I'm pregnant. And I started. And she was like, I'm already 3 months. Mm-hmm. We good. And I'm bawling. We went to, we rented this, the governor's suite. I'll never forget it, at the Omni Mandalay. And we had our closest friends there. And we shared it with them. And it was all good. And then we went to the next checkup. And there was no heartbeat. And it was like, no, there's got to be a mistake, right? So we start believing God and slinging oil and doing all the things, mm-hmm. right, that we know to do, that we learn to do, that mm-hmm. we were taught to do. And went back again, no heartbeat. And because of where the progression was, the baby didn't come out on its own. Yep. And so they had to do a DNC. Yep. And then my wife thought, she was getting an abortion in her mind and like, I'm giving up faith if I let you go in here and take this baby out. And it was bad. Like when I tell you devastating, and we went straight to the therapist and cried it out and yelled it out and processed it out and released balloons and did all the stuff. But that was devastating.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was the first one was devastating. And like my EMDR therapist is always telling me to pay attention to my body. So even doing that just yeah. lets me know that that thing,
still.
That thing That thing hurt. And I did stand-up comedy for 2 years. So I had, because of the trauma I endured as a child, I actually had comedy before I had Jesus. I had comedy before I had porn. I had comedy before I had anything, yeah. Right? So one day now, this is my trigger alert. This ain't okay. Everybody's experience, right? So some things can trigger other people. Other mm-hmm. people can handle it. I'm just telling you what happened in our marriage and how we moved on, okay? Mm-hmm. So one day we were in the house and I'm like, I'm glad we lost that baby. And Juliet was like, what? And I said, I'm glad we lost that baby. I said, that baby only had one job. Stay alive. If that joker couldn't do that, imagine what we would have gave birth to. That would have been the laziest,
Jesus.
Lost baby in the whole world.
Oh, and my
that
God.
Girl burst out laughing. Now, I know, trigger alert. I know this ain't everybody's thing. Somebody probably crying right now. I'm just telling you what happened. I said, that's going to be the laziest baby that we ever gave birth to. I said, that joker needed to just go on to heaven.
I thought you were going to get some deep answer. I always say my first miscarriage, like, that baby did its job and helped our marriage. And,
what?
Like,
that
it served its purpose.
Oh, my God.
I literally can't breathe.
This is the easiest your life is going to be. And you couldn't even stay in the womb? Get out of here. And get out they did. And so we just said, okay.
And get out they did?
So we left.
Sir, I'm sweating.
And that was part of our healing?
Yeah.
And we moved on. Let me tell you what happened. Mm-hmm. We had Nathan.
Phew. Yeah.
Then we got pregnant again yeah. with the third one.
Man.
Another lazy baby.
And you know what Juliet Jesus. Came out? Juliet came out and said, another lazy one. And this is the way that we processed right. it.
Wow.
Everybody processes differently. Right? Some people have
somebody
to.
I got to marry the right one for you.
Yeah.
Listen. I told another couple this, and she said, I would have divorced you on the spot. I said, I understand. I get it. You
know, yeah.
But for us, like, that's the way we needed to process.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, for us, it made sense. Like, that first one was devastating. And we did name the first one. We named the first one Ferez. Okay. Ferez means breaker. We felt like that was the one that broke through and made Nathan possible.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think about that too. I'm like, without that miscarriage, I wouldn't have Noble. And I can't imagine not having Noble.
And when God gives you your babies, he gives you amnesia. Mm. It's not that you don't experience that loss anymore, but you don't feel it because the joy of that one that made it. And so, that was our process.
What did your faith look like during that process? Because
before you got to the
before you got to the joke.
Uh huh. I was really like discouraged. Mm-hmm. I wasn't mad at God. You know, some people are like, yeah. I was just really discouraged. I was like, did I do something? Mm-hmm. And then all my trauma started flaring up. Oh, it's because of all of my promiscuity in the past. And it's because of my porn addiction that I had. And it's because of the, like, I started, like, I was in a really dark
place. All the stuff Jesus
place.
Already died on the cross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it was all on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was punishing myself.
Because it's control.
Yeah, yeah, it's control.
If we did it, we can fix it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know what? And then you talk to other people that have gone through the same thing. And then you talk to, I can't tell you how many couples we've talked to. It's like, it was almost like we talked to more couples that lost children.
Yeah.
Even stillborns. Like, we have a dear friend, 9 months, had to push that baby out. Right?
It's ridiculously common.
It is.
But nobody is. Talks about it.
That's nobody talks about it, and that's what makes it seem rare.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what makes every couple thinks I'm the only one that's ever been through this. Because too many people edit their testimonies. Mm-hmm. And the editing of testimonies doesn't give people a full picture of how God navigates you through life. Yep. He never said it was going to be dandelions and roses and, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Skipping through a field of lilies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He just said he'd be with you through it all, no matter what you went through.
Right.
Right. Good, bad, or indifferent. So we learned a lot about what other people's were going through. And we have friends that can't conceive.
Yeah.
Have believed God 17, 18, 19 years during their 50s.
Yeah.
And their tubes
won't
allow for, and not all they ever prayed for was a child.
Yeah.
So when you think about moms actually, you got moms who have actually given birth, moms who have actually lost children, and moms who have that spirit but haven't actually been able to hold that child. And we have to embrace all the whole spectrum of mothers going through all of those things.
That's good. Yeah, I started talking about my miscarriage a lot because I was just like, once I realized every time I talked about it, someone was like, oh, me too. Like, I was like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. I never wanted anybody to feel like how I initially felt. So I was like, it gets weird because people are like, oh my God, I'm fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I really am fine. Yeah. But it's like, I just talk about it because other people aren't fine, but they've never been able to talk about it because they don't want to make it awkward for other people.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's not.
It's not. You know? It doesn't have to be.
I have one last question.
Okay.
What is the thing that you want your boys to model after you the most?
My love for God. I'm going to say two things. My love for God and my love for their mother. That's what I saw from my dad. They'll be married 49 years this year. It'll be 24 for Juliet and I. And if God keeps us all healthy and alive, next year is their 50th. Our 25th, we're renewing our vows.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
When people be hating on your marriage, I saw one post. And you're like, we staying together. I don't know why y'all.
Yeah. There's some people that, when you talk about a successful marriage in a culture where over 50% ends in divorce, they're like, you're next. Mm. Like, you ain't going to stay married.
People projecting.
Yeah. Your wife wants to leave you. It ain't real. It's all that kind of stuff. And, you say that now.
Yeah.
But you about to get your heart broken.
Yeah.
And somebody about to get cheated on. Yeah. And y'all going to wind up in a divorce. I'm going to just hold this clip for when your divorce takes place. And I'm like.
You going to say that?
Oh, for sure.
Wow.
Their comment sections are reckless.
See, I don't read the comments even on other people's stuff.
Yeah.
It's just.
I don't read comments because. And I don't read comments, and some of that stuff just gets to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when it gets to you, you're just like, oh, people are so sad.
Yeah.
It's like mean tweets. That's how I feel about bad
people
comments.
People hurt people.
Yeah, they do. They do. Mm-hmm. And so they haven't seen, everybody hasn't had the picture that we've had.
Yeah.
And so they can't even conceive it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a really bad way to live.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
Yeah. Is there anything you would like to say to men, to fathers, anything you want to leave them with, anything they should take away from you being here?
I heard a sociologist say a couple of weeks ago that a father's role in the child's life is so important. When you have a mother and a father, that child's success rate is like 66% higher than those that are raised with single moms. If there is a break in that relationship, if the child is with the father, they have the same identical success rate with a single father that they have with a mother and a father.
Ooh, you about to get some single mamas.
Wow.
A little tight.
Wow.
I can't speak for the deadbeat dad.
Yeah.
What I am encouraging fathers to understand is that their voice is incredibly important. I was born in Inglewood, California. I was labeled at risk by the time I was in sixth grade. My older brother founded a gang in LA.
Wow.
And by all statistical measures, I was supposed to be next. I was more afraid of my daddy's belt than I was the dudes on the block. And I am the man that I am today is because I had a present father in my life. So my encouragement to fathers is be present because you could be saving your child's life. Literally saving his or her life.
I know we're supposed to leave it there, but your father. So your brother had the same father.
Yes. No. His father died. His father was killed. So my older, I am the firstborn of my father, the second of my mother.
Okay.
My older brother's 10 years older than me.
Okay. I was going to ask how, you know, that made, okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
I got to give you one more stat though.
Oh,
this one
it.
Is juicy.
Oh.
Okay. So, a girl, who is raised with a father, and that relationship is good, physiologically develops slower than a girl that does not have a father.
Oh, sense wow.
She does not blossom.
That makes sense.
Quote unquote. Because she already has a man.
Oh.
And so her body doesn't have to develop because she's like, I don't need.
I'm thinking about myself. I'm like, you know what I mean?
I was flat as a board for the longest time, so I co-signed that.
That's hilarious.
They don't have that 13-year-old, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Looking like she 21.
Your body isn't reacting to
the because the body's not saying, I need the attention of a man because I want to be loved by a man. And so a daughter that has a present father physiologically develops later than a young woman that doesn't. I just think it's a cool stat for dudes. Daddies are important.
For everybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
Daddies are important.
Wow.
I think it's wild that, like, men know that. I think, not that, but men know that they're important. Fathers know that they're important. But then sometimes they re-traumatize their kids through their trauma. Like,
that's correct.
They want sons, and then they don't show up for their sons.
Absolutely
correct. You know,
correct.
They want children, but then they don't show up.
Yeah.
And because of their trauma or what have you, and then they re-traumatize that. And that's the importance of therapy.
Yeah, it is.
Community and everything because you can't break generational, like we're giving it to our kids otherwise.
It's just the most extravagant gift that I currently give to my sons is a healed heart.
Yeah.
Like I'm not fathering them from pain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not projecting what happened in my life onto them. They get to grow and make their mistakes and all that kind of stuff. And then when they mess up, I'm quick to put them back in line. So it's incumbent upon men to do their work so that they can be good for themselves, good for their wives, and good for their children.
That's good.
That's really good.
Wow. Well, thank you so much.
Yes.
Honored
to be
here.
You are the first male
to ever be on Mom's Action.
Yeah, to ever.
And I literally screamed when you agreed to be.
She did. I've never heard her be audible in that way.
She thought it was somebody else because I don't do
I
stuff
like
that.
Did you just scream?
You're like, Lauren, was that you?
That is hilarious.
I was.
But we are grateful for you.
I'm so honored to be here. Yes.
We're grateful for your wisdom,
your
words. And I'm sure there are many dads who will be grateful that you came and just joined us today, and really wives.
I was gonna say
mothers,
wives, moms,
yeah,
women.
All the things. They're gonna be grateful for your words. They're gonna be sending it to their spouse and say, look, you need to watch this. So I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yes.
I hope you guys share this with someone.
Please
make sure you subscribe. Follow Upset the Gram.
Yes, please do.
You will not be disappointed. And we are just so grateful. Happy belated Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
Enjoy it. It. If you got a man, I hope you treated him right. It's not too late.
It's not too late. Yeah. It sure is not. So thank you for watching. Mom's Actually Where Motherhood Meets Sisterhood.
Hey, Mom.
What's up?
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 Hey, Mom.